Hey, good morning, everybody. Those of you that are familiar with the shmooz from over the years, very often I don't necessarily have time during the week to prepare. Sometimes I prepare right before the shmooz. I wasn't sure what I was going to speak about today. Rosh Hashanah, Parshas Nitzavim, Tshuva. Last night, as I was going to bed at 12:30 at night, I took out the Sefer V'Harevna, which, generally speaking, has practical halachos that I like to say over the Shabbos table on the Shabbos. I'm coming to the yeshiva, so I wanted to find some things to say. And I opened up to the most unbelievable ma'isa, a tremendously unbelievable ma'isa. I'm still shaking from it. I'm choked with some tears. And such an unbelievable lesson that connects so perfectly to this week's parasha. The story goes about a person from Eretz Yisrael who found himself in Miami Beach on a business trip. And he had a relative, a first cousin, that lived there. He wasn't yet from. And he decided, you know what, he's in Miami anyway, he'll give him a call. He gives him a call. He says, "How you doing? What's going on? You want to meet?" He said, "Sure, I'd love to meet. Come by my house." Comes by the house, knocks on the door, and he greets him at the door with a yarmulke on. Okay. So the cousin comes from Eretz Yisrael, the frum fellow, assumes he's just trying to show, act respectfully. He has a yarmulke on. As he walks in, he sees a beautiful mezuzah on the doorpost. And he walks in further and sits in the living room. He sees Svarim. So he said, "Cousin, I'm sorry to ask, but, what happened?" He said, "Last year, Rosh Hashanah, he was sitting on his porch, relaxing, listening to the beach, and all of a sudden, he saw a group of Jews going to the beach. And he remembered, there's something called Tashlich. I remember when I was a little boy back in Europe, I used to go to Tashlich with my father." So he said, "You know what? I'm going to join them." So he goes out, and one of the members of the group notices him, gives him a sitter, points to him part of the tefillah to say. He says the tefillah. And as he's walking back, somebody taps him on the shoulder. Turns around. He's a very tall, nice-looking, becovedic gentleman. Fine gentleman. He says, "Jew, have you heard the shofar yet?" And he says, "I'm sorry, I haven't." Takes out a small shofar from his pocket. He blows the shofar for him. Oh, he tells him, "Have in mind to have kavana, to be yoseh." Blows the shofar for him. And he says, "They call me Moshe Katz." So, they part ways, he goes home. And later on that day, he tells his wife, "It's so interesting today. I was on the porch. I went to Tapshuk. Somebody, tapped me on the shoulder. Blew the shofar for me. But it was really weird. I don't know, he said, they called me Moshe Katz." His wife fainted on the spot. She wakes up again. And she says, Can you do me a favor? Can you describe what Moshe Katz looked like?" And so, this gentleman gives a detailed description of what Moshe Katz looked like, and she fainted again. After she woke up, she explained that after the war, she had changed her name. Her maiden name was Katz. And he described exactly the image of her father. And her father was from Pressburg, the Talmud Chacham and a Rav, and also the Baal Tekeah. They immediately realized this is obviously a call to wake up, a call to tshuva, and they were chozer b'tshuva completely on the spot. So this person, the cousin, came back to Eretz Yisrael and he told over the Maisa to Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein. He brought it over to Reb Chaim Kanievsky and he said, for sure, it's a sure Gilui Min HaShemayim, there's no question about it. No question about it. And the idea was to be causing them to do tshuva. This is something that happened, not, you know, in times of Gemara, in Miami Beach. You know, probably the last 10, 20 years, something like that. But there's an unbelievable mussar over here. The cousin, he has to give all the kasha on the whole Maisa. He said, I don't understand. Why is it that Moshe Katz, the father of this woman, why did it take him so long to come and reveal himself like that to his children, to his daughter and son-in-law? What's the pshat? So Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein said, unbelievably so. The only way something like that could happen, the only way, is if he did something small. If he was Stama Yoshev Batal, if he was sitting there doing nothing, the daughter or the son-in-law, then this Gilui can't come. It just can't come. But once, right? Once he made that, he took that step to get out of his chair on the porch and go towards Tashlich, that tiny thing, and he remembered walking with his father, his late father, to Tashlich, he made that tiny step, whammo. He got to see after the Shemaya, the Gilui came, and he got the huge jump to be Chozer B'tshuva. The pasuk says, "Pischu li pesach shemachad, v'ni etzach lachem pesach sheulam." All you have to do is to open up the opening, the size of a needle, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to open up the pesach to a hall. And he brought a raya from the Medrash. The Medrash says in Kehilas Rabbah, the Rabbi Chanina ben Tosa, everybody was bringing presents to the Beis Hamikdash, and Rabbi Chanina ben Tosa felt left out. He went to the desert. And he found a beautiful stone, a gorgeous stone, but he knew it was too big for him to carry it. So what did he do? He went looking for helpers. He went looking for helpers and he found five helpers. And the helper said to him, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, we'll help you. And says, the Medrash, Ulvad Shetitin Yad Chayimano. As long as you help us out, he helped them. And instantaneously they found themselves at Yerushalayim and all the workers disappeared. They were malachim. As it says in the Pasuk in Parashas Re'eh, "Uvirach es Hashem Elokecha b'chol asher ta'aseh," says the Sifri, what does it mean b'chol asher ta'aseh? As long as you do. You have to start first. It's an unbelievable ma'isa. But I think that as bigger than the ma'isa is the message. That a Kodesh Baruch Hu is there to help each and every one of us. He wants you to do tshuva. He wants you to succeed. He wants you. He wants it. But all you have to do is take a tiny baby step. The tiny decision. Mamish, I want to change. I want to grow. Whether it's staying one brachos more kavana, learning a little bit stronger, davening stronger, being nicer to your chaverim. One small step, siyata d'shmaya. And I think that last night also, I was shmuzim my chavrusos, who told me over a report, happens to be, he told me it was in the name of somebody. I looked in this person's sefer, didn't find it, but I think I found it quoted over here. I think it's from Rav Leib Chasman from the sefer Oriyahal. Everybody knows the famous story about Rav Elazar ben Dudaya. He's involved in so many averas. And when the last woman from across the sea tells him, "You're never going to be able to do tshuva," he wakes up and he says, "I want to try to do tshuva." And he goes to the mountains and the valleys, and he goes to the Shemayim Aretz, and he goes to the stars, goes to the sun and the moon, and nobody can help him. And he says, "Ain adover toli elobi." And the Gemara says, "Rabbi Elazar ben Dudaya mezumen l'chayi olam haba." And Rabbi starts crying, "Bachur Rabbi, yesh kona olamo b'kama shonim, v'yesh kona olamo b'sha'achas." So, most people say, the reason why Rebbe is crying is that, wow, you know, you know, we all think it takes years and years and years and years to get Olam Haba, but you see, he was able to be zeichah in one moment. But the problem with the problem is the crying. You think like us, we think to ourselves, hey, you know, it would be much easier in life if we were able to get Olam Haba, just like snapping our fingers, we get Olam Haba. Instead, what do we have to do? We have to daven every day. We have to learn every day. We have to do all these things. That's probably why he was crying, right? Because I'm jealous. Kilu Rebbe was jealous. It's so much easier to get Olam Haba in one moment. So I think Rebbe Chasman says the following answer. He's saying that Yesh Kolam Shachas means, and why was Rebbe crying? Because if Rebbe Elazar ben Hedaya can reach the level of Olam Haba in one moment just by changing his perspective, just by having the charata. Oh, there's another question, by the way. There's another question: is how he didn't do proper tshuva? We know Hilchos Tshuva says that he has to leave the chet. All he did was just cry over the chet. He didn't stop doing the chet. He just cried himself to death. He didn't have charata. He didn't have. He had charata. He didn't have zivas achet. He didn't have kabbalah asid. He didn't have those steps of tshuva. So what's going on over here? And why was Rebbe crying? So the answer is, Rebbe was crying, if somebody can become Olam Shachas in one moment, imagine what you can do in a steady course of tshuva. Imagine what you can do. He had no other way. Elazar ben Hedaya was stuck. The only way, he was so engrossed in sin, that the only way he felt he could do it, to get back to Hashem, to do tshuva, was to cry himself to death. But Rabbi Yisai, each and every one of us, you're in yeshiva. You have the opportunity. The Shari Tshuva says, and Shari Tshuva says the following: what? How do you change? How do you do tshuva? Lahaschil betol mikan lahaba. I'm going to do better. Little more, little hefzik to learn without stopping. To try to stop, cut out bittul Torah. Small baby steps. That's all it takes. The parsha says this week: be'fiicha uvavcha la'asoso. Says the Ramban is talking about tshuva. It's so easy. What do you mean so easy? It looks so hard. I have to change my whole life. Little by little. First of all, the siyata d'shmaya that happens. You're right. Most likely, statistically speaking, you're not going to have a gilui from Shemayim like that couple in Miami. You're probably not. But there'll be other ways. Hashem has harvei shluchim l'makom. HaKadosh Baruch has a million ways He can help you out. All you have to do is take that first step. Get off that chair and then repress it. Walk to a tashlich and whammo. You'll have it. So for each and every one of you, you can fill in the blank. Whether it means learning now for another 2 minutes after the shmooze, which is important, but I wouldn't say that's good. Sit after the shmooze. Take a sefer and learn an extra minute. Show Kodesh Baruch Hu you care. This afternoon, you're in the dorm. Instead of listening to a Jewish music tape, maybe listen to a shir. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with either one. Or instead of you sitting on your bed, take out a storybook, something. Go over to Shana Abke, see what he's doing. There's so many little things we can do. Rachman Oliva boy, HaKadosh Baruch wants your heart. And he wants to help you. My bracha to everybody here is that, also as we'll say over Shabbos, it's the last Shabbos of the year. You can fix up all the Shabbos of the year. If there's any day that needs fixing, of course we know it's Shabbos because it has the most potential to be nichshal, to stumble in Averos. And on the flip side also, we know that Shabbos is connected to Kol HaMitzvos. Anybody who does mitzvahs on Shabbos, he gets double schar. As we go into Shabbos, the last Shabbos of the year, we should even try to have in mind to take small steps. When you take that small step, especially on Shabbos, and you fix up the whole last year, then Mir Tashem was all b'zorcha tisiyata d'shmai from Shemayim. And we should all be inscribed in Svarim, Sivrei Chaim, the swarm of Tzaddikim Gemurim. Should all have a Kesiva of Chesem Tova, a great Shabbos. And Mir Tashem, Sunday morning we'll have another Friday Seder, Friday Erev Shana Seder from 9:15 to 10:15. And Mir Tashem will say another Shmuz. And last year, in the past years, I've given a Shmuz about the three ways to merit a great judgment. And hope to say something along those lines Sunday morning as well. You can try to encourage Shana Aleph guys to come as well. We know, of course, that a group has more power than individuals. She'll have a good Shabbos. Yeah.